100.9 FM, Belfast Community Radio. I listen to this station every time I'm working, and I love the soothing music.
It's 6 o'clock on Monday. That means it's time for the Belfast Lions High School Sports Show. Here's your host, Coach Brian Goff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is the head football coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach Brian Goff. I am also the head JV basketball coach for the boys this year as well. I'm just getting off the hardwood right now. Just had the varsity practice. We've got our first game down in Oceanside tomorrow. We're going to do the show tonight. And as soon as I finish up the show, I'm back on the hardwood with the JV team with one last dress rehearsal for our big opening game at Oceanside tomorrow. Here we are in the month of January. January means winter sports. We're lucky enough to have a legend in his own right. the head swim coach for your Belfast Lions coming into his 48th season here at Belfast. And that's exactly why I use the term legendary. We've got Coach Bob Winslow joining the show tonight. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. I've got a number of things I want to dive into with you, no pun intended, and really give our listeners a real broad strokes understanding of how a swim program runs, how things are operating in the year of COVID, reviewing the 2020 team this year, and just a lot of just general questions about your career here at Belfast. First thing I'd like to ask you, Coach, is just tell our little listeners a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? Where did you attend high school? And what sports you participated in when you were a youth?
I grew up in Portland, and I attended Deering High School and graduated from Deering. I participated in three sports, football, swimming, and baseball. I went on to college, Nichols College in Dudley, Mass. I went there thinking I might play football, but at 170 pounds, Division III, I was just too small. So I took up lacrosse, and for 4 years of college, I played lacrosse and swam.
Very cool. So two-sport athlete down at Nichols College. Did you find that each sport helped with the other?
Yeah, it did. You know, the conditioning part of swimming certainly made it a little easier transition going into lacrosse, where there's a lot of running. I played midfield and man-down defense, so a lot of running.
Absolutely. Now, you grew up in Portland. How did you find your way to Belfast?
That was my first teaching job in 1973. I was hired teach ninth grade general math and general business or consumer economics, and to coach swimming and football, which I coached for 2 years in my early years, as well as swimming.
Very cool. Now, is swimming much like track, Coach, where, you know, I hear track people talk about, well, he's a distance runner, or he's a sprinter, or he's, you know, they kind of classify these athletes into a certain group in terms of track and field. Is it very similar with swimming as well?
Yeah, it is. You've got those kids that have the fast twitch muscles and the slow twitch muscles. Some are better sprinters than others, and some are more distance swimmers. Because in the past few years we've had small teams, I train my kids in all the different strokes, so we become much more versatile. I don't want somebody locked into doing the breaststroke or the backstroke all the time. It, you know, provides a little bit more of a element of surprise if we go into a dual meet, knowing that, you know, I can put people in different events and try to match up with my opponents, you know, try to match up my kids. You know, if they're weak in backstroke, then I'm going to put my strongest backstroker against theirs. It's a lot of people don't realize that swimming is sort of like a chess game. You know, you try to match up your top people against their people so that you can win an event or score points in that. You know, it's there's a lot of strategy to it.
I didn't realize that. You learn something new every day. That is very, very cool. It's much like track as well. You know, my dad back in the day was a track coach at several schools here in Maine. As a youth growing up, I was always there by his side. And I, you know, it just came to my mind right now that you said that, with all the strategy, you know, if you've got a guy that can do a number of things in terms of jumping, sprinting, long distance, you only get four events in track, to the best of my knowledge. Is it the same way at a swim meet?
Pretty close. The maximum, you can only do two individual events and two relays, or you can do three relays and one individual event. You have to look closely at your relays, because the relays score more points than individual events. So, again, it's another strategy thing. Do you want to, you know, use that relay, that person in a relay, or do you want to, you know, not use them and put them in another event? It's, you know, or if the other team's got a relay that's so much better than yours, we don't, you know, I try not to waste those good athletes against that relay and put them somewhere else where I can win, and maybe take, instead of taking first, we'll take second and third. So there's, you know, that type of strategy. If I know a team's weak in a 400 free relay, then I'll go after that 400 free relay.
Right.
So it varies from team to team.
Now, how were you used as a swimmer at the high school level and at the collegiate level at Nichols?
I was primarily a 50-yard freestyler and 100 backstroke and 200 backstroke. Those were my, you know, I swam 200 and 100 back, usually the 100 back in the medley relay, which is a relay comprised of all four strokes. So, and I certainly wasn't the fastest swimmer in college or in high school. I was a, you know, average athlete, but I did score, you know, and scored it at the States and scored for my team points, you know.
Right on. That's awesome. Now, at what stage in your life did you develop a passion, love for the sport of swimming? And what were the reasons or events that led to this?
I don't know. I've always had a passion for swimming, but my last 2 years at Nichols, on Fridays, I ran a program, swimming program, on campus for special ed students. And I really enjoyed, you know, doing teaching and working with those kids. At that time, I said, well, geez, you know, maybe I could get into coaching and teaching. And my senior year, I took some education courses at Nichols. That was a business administration major, math minor. I said, gee, I like working on pool deck and coaching and teaching. And so Belfast was my first job, teaching job. I applied for several that season. And I moved up here from Portland in 73.
So when you got the job teaching, that was kind of your first priority, to get that teaching job. And then how long after that did the Belfast swim job open up? And
that, it was immediate. That was part of my hiring.
I see.
That first year I was asked to take the swimming program on and to coach football that first year that I was there.
Wow.
And that was when I started in 73, 74. They didn't have a lot of kids. And the superintendent said, we've got to build this program up. We've got a pool that we just put in here. And see if you can make a go of it.
That is super cool. Did you ever think to yourself that you'd be doing this 48 years later?
No. I thought I'd be heading back to Portland, but I'm glad I stayed. It's much better up here.
No doubt. And you know, since you've been here since the 70s, you've really seen this town grow.
Oh, yes. Changed dramatically.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I got here in 86, spent 4 years of, high school here. Then I was off to the state of North Carolina to do my college. After college, I lived in Portland, Maine Boston, Mass for 5 years. Came back to Portland, Maine for 5 years. And I'd always visit Belfast on a yearly basis, normally during the summertime. And it seemed like, you know, for a while there, every summer that I'd come back, you know, you'd see change. Then the next thing you know, Belfast looks like a different town.
Yeah.
So
it's changed dramatically from the early years. When I first moved up here and the second year I was here, I was married, and my wife was from Portland. And we said, oh, we're going to stay just for a few years. And as things have changed, it's become a much nicer town. Matter of fact, some of my friends from Portland area are coming up here to visit in the summertime, the waterfront and different places and shops. So it's like, you know, we went from economic poverty to a prosperous area.
Absolutely. Yeah, the town is just so beautiful now, and the waterfront, the walking bridge, and all the restaurants. And I think somebody told me when I first came here in 86, there was about 3 restaurants in downtown Belfast, and now there's about 14 or 15 of them, and you've got a lot of little shops and things of that nature. It's just great to see Belfast doing so well, and it's been great being back here the last couple of years, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
So 48th year, is there anything that you remember about your first swim practice or first swim meet you ever coached here at Belfast Area High School?
That's so far back that it's hard to remember, but, you know, I just had a few kids back then, you know, and it was different. It was, you know, it's taken me a few years to get going. In those early years, we struggled because we competed against teams in Southern Maine. It was a while before we started winning. You know, it took me 3 or 4 years to get it so that we had a winning season and get back to, winning dual meet season.
Right.
And it was a few years, too, before we really started seeing some of my swimmers scoring at the state meet. And and looking back, I mean, I kind of push this with my kids because I'm a big, I really work hard at dual meets and winning dual meets and doing what we can to win dual meets. That we haven't had a losing dual meet season since 1988.
Wow.
So it's just that's, you know, it's, we always push for that. It's something that I keep track of, you know, what we've done over the course of the time. As of this year, going into this year, Belfast boys swim team has accumulated 382 wins, 158 losses, and 6 ties.
That is incredible.
So, and we've won in the early 2000s, we won 3 state championships. We've had 5 state runner-ups. And we've won the KVAC championship 17 times.
That is awesome, Coach.
So that's, you know, we've done very well, you know, in the past, and our kids have done well. at the state meet level, you know, over time. It's taken a while for us to build that up, but we've had a good run.
Absolutely. Now, it really doesn't, as far as I'm concerned, the philosophy doesn't change all that much between sports. When you're building a program, most coaches I've spoken with, no matter what sport it is, they always talk about establishing that youth program, getting kids hooked at an early age, practicing their craft as grade school kids into junior high. Now they've been doing it for a number of years. Now they get to high school and they're primed and ready to go. Did that youth program exist when you first took over back in the 70s?
It was just getting started. At that time, Dan Horton was what they call the Bluefish or the Y swim coach at that time. And that was kind of like our feeder system for the high school swim team. And now at the YMCA, my son Aaron is the head coach at the Bluefish swim team for the Waldo County YMCA. And those kids are coming up to me with basic skills in most strokes, in all strokes, which makes my job a little easier. I just, you know, again, I said, as we have a small team, and I really believe in training in all four strokes. I realize that some kids are stronger than others, but I really firmly believe that they've got to know all four strokes so I can use them in different positions. You know, I hate, you know, to train somebody all the time in breaststroke or all the time in backstroke. You know, they've got to be versatile, you know, to help the team.
Absolutely. Now, you struck a chord with me when you said the YMCA. You know, I was back in high school. I had a summer job for a couple of years where I was working for the YMCA. Back then, the YMCA was a small office next to the Colonial Theater in downtown.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And basically, they outsourced the high school facilities to do all their Y programs.
Yeah.
It must be, you know, quite a help to you and your program to have the new YMCA and the facility that they have there, because I've worked out there a couple of times. And when I first walked in there, I was literally just wowed. It just had that wow factor. When I walked in, I did a little exercise in the pool. That pool area is just absolutely beautiful. You've got two facilities now. You got the high school, which you got a nice pool here. You got the YMCA pool just over by Troy Howard Middle School. That must be quite a help to you and your swim program, would you say, Coach?
Yes, it makes a big difference. In years past, before the Y had their pool, the Bluefish kids were swimming. It was boys swim team, girls swim team, then the Bluefish was swimming from like 6 to 7 or 8 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock or even sometimes 9 o'clock, I do my diving for my boys and girls. I coach. In the past, I've always done boys and girls 1 meter diving. And so before the Y pool was built, my divers were practicing from 8 to 9 or 9 to 10 at night, because the pool was being used from 2:30, 2:15 till 10 o'clock at night. So it took the pressure off us at the high school. We could increase the length of our practices a little bit. So both the boys and girls now have an hour and a half of practice time, and I have an hour for my diving.
That is awesome. Now, when you say Bluefish, is that equivalent to basically the Pee-wee or youth program for swimming?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And what's the earliest age that swimmers can participate in that Bluefish program?
6 or 7 years old.
Start them young. I love it.
Yeah. And some of my high school kids do double duty. They'll swim for the YMCA which gives them an opportunity to swim some different events that they may not get a chance to swim in a dual meet. I encourage my kids, although I don't force them to participate. That way, especially when they're freshmen and sophomores, they can participate in the Y state meet, which the level of competition is really good. And it's a good way for those younger kids to get experience in a big meet setting. So when it comes to our state meet as the juniors and seniors, they're not overwhelmed by the, you know, the talent that they see, and they can do just as well.
Absolutely. Great points. I'm learning a ton here, Coach. This is awesome. I'm sure our listeners are too. I've had several people reach out to me today and, you know, excited about the topic of discussion that we're delving into right now. Again, back to the 48 years of coaching. How much have you changed as a coach from the early years to now? And are practices and the training different back when you first started than what they are today?
In the early years, it took me a few years, to, even with swimming experience, to go through and learning technique, you know, recognizing mistakes and learning different techniques for the different strokes and different drills. Up until, it's probably been 10 years ago, we used to, in swimming, they used to have trials in the morning and finals in the evening, which was different in the sense of training, that we had to swim more yards to build up that anaerobic and aerobic base, because if, let's say, a 200 freestyler or 500 freestyler would have to swim 200 yards in the morning and 500 yards in the morning, my distance swimmers, and then if they made it into the consolations or finals, they would have to do it in the evening again to score points for the team. In the morning, they were just swimming it to get into those positions. So we did a lot more distance, longer sets in those early years. Today, we're doing less 200s than we did years ago. We're doing more 125 yards, 75 yards, 50. More sprint work than I did in the past, because today's state meet, you swim it once. You know, the kids that swim the distance events like the 200 and 500, they swim it once. You know, and if they're in a relay, they're doing another 100 yards. So they're swimming 800 or 900 yards at a state meet, whereas in the past when we had trials and finals, you had to swim 900 yards in the morning, and then you had to swim 900 yards at night. So you had to be in really, really good shape. So today it's more sprint work than distance work.
It sounds like with that type of, you know, regimen, you know, sleep, diet, water, all that stuff is very, very important in the world of swimming. Would you say that's accurate, Coach?
That's true. Where I don't have as much time to talk to the students. We've talked about, you know, hydrating and some food issues before meets. But if a student or swimmer wishes to go on to college, that's and swim, whether it's a Division III or Division I program, those schools spend a lot of time on diet and conditioning and strength, you know, which really helps the swimmer improve. It's really good.
Absolutely. I stress it with the football team. I just brought it up with our basketball team the other day, you know, get your rest, drink your water, eat those calories, work that flexibility. And then, you know, when it is time to come practice whatever sport it is, you're rip roaring and ready to go and put your best effort out there. And that's what's going to make you better in whatever sport you play.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Coming up on top of the hour, Coach, we're going to take a quick commercial break. This is WBFY 100.9 local FM. You're listening to us online. You're doing so at BelfastCommunityRadio.org. I'm here with the head swim coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach Bob Winslow. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pat, and you are listening to WBFY 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine, a groovy place to be.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from those who listen and Midcoast Tech, providing IT support and computer repairs from their new location at 38C Sterrett Drive in Belfast. Midcoast Tech has been with WBFY since the beginning, creating our website and helping with our computers. Sean Myers and his staff can be reached through midcoasttech.com or at 236-0021.
To help slow the spread of COVID-19, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that people wear cloth face coverings in public settings, especially when other physical distancing measures are difficult to maintain.
Physical distance means 6 feet apart, about 2 arm lengths from other people who are not from your household. You are required to wear face mask coverings in public places where physical distance is difficult to maintain, as recommended by CDC.
The current state guidelines in place are designed to keep you and our frontline employees safe and us in business. Please be kind as we do our best to adapt and serve you.
Together with your help, we can keep Belfast a safe location to visit, shop, eat, and spend time with your family.
You just heard the word from Belfast Mayor Eric Sanders, Belfast Public Health Nurse Susan Dupler, also Corey Chase, the owner of Darby's, and Ryan Otis of Rowley's. We at WBFY would also like to encourage you to do the considerate thing and wear a mask.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from the Colonial Theater, showing the best of Hollywood, world, and independent films online at colonialtheater.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is Coach Brian Goff with the head swim coach, Mr. Bob Winslow, for your Belfast Lions. Having a great conversation here about the swim program as a whole. We're going to get into the past and the future. Coach, you've been here 48 seasons. Off the top of your head, who are some of the all-time great swim teams you've coached here at Belfast in your entire career?
The 2001 and 2002, those teams were outstanding, winning the state championships. Those guys were just great. I think one of the more memorable moments was our first KBAC championship that we won in 1992, and then won a string of them. But I know it was a big meet at Colby, and we had to win the last event and to do that, and we won the last event over our rivals Morse to win our first KVAC championship, and after that we had about 10 in a row in the KVAC championship. But
I
was fortunate. I had some outstanding swimmers. Chris Coleman, Sean McLeod, North Saunders, Aaron Lawrence, Aaron Winslow, John Delahanty. Incredible amount of kids that were outstanding. I've been fortunate to have Tyler Bowen. Geez, I can't forget him. He holds probably half the records on the board up there. He was another versatile, but he was, you know, a three-sport athlete, outstanding three-sport athlete too.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the championship swim meet was held at Colby College. Is that pretty much the spot where they hold these, or do they actually rotate these championships around the state?
They had rotated them around. They went from Bowdoin in the early years. Then we had it at Maine for a few years, and then Colby. And pretty much now the KVAC championship is being held at Morse YMCA. They have eight lanes and a large spectator gallery so that they are able to hold our KVAC championship. I know in years past, Colby is building a new facility, a new swimming area. And I know that they have mentioned to us that they would like to host the state meet. I don't know if we'll get a chance to have them host the KVAC championship, but I know that they've talked about hosting the state swimming championship. So kind of excited to see that area, see that pool. But we've got to get by the COVID first.
I hear that. You kind of started to answer my second question in terms of teams and swimmers of the past. I was in your pool area the other day and couldn't help but look up at the record-setting board that you have posted up on the wall there. And it seems like it's dominated by a couple of names. Right at the top of the list is Tyler Bowen, who you've mentioned. He holds four Belfast records, followed by Chris Coleman, who had two, and then Aaron Lawrence one, Chris Hurley one, and Mike Marsanskis holds one record as well. That's not including any of the relays. Talk about some of those swimmers I just mentioned. If there's literally a Mount Rushmore of Belfast swimmers, who do you think deserves to be on that list, or is four not doing it justice?
Yeah, that's I'll start first with Mike Marsanskis, who holds the state record, held the state meet record for diving. That was established in 1984, and that wasn't broken until about 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
By a boy from MDI. So that was the longest standing state record. Mike Marsanskis is diving. Chris Coleman was probably one of the top freestyle swimmers. He held Bates College pool record. When we had the state meet at Bates College, he swam faster than anybody at the college. So he established a record there in the 200 and the 100. Tyler Bowen, probably one of the best all-around versatile swimmers, you know. Aaron Lawrence was a sprinter. He broke Sean McLeod's records. North Saunders, backstroker and sprinter. Trying to look here. And I don't have the names right now in front of me, but we have had 26 state individual champions and 30 runner-up state champions.
Wow.
And 17 state champion relays. I have had five divers win the state championship and seven runner-ups.
Outstanding.
I mean, we've been fortunate. I've had some really great athletes, and we've done very well.
Absolutely. Now, do you find, Coach, that these great swimmers, some of these guys you just talked about, were they just naturals and they were just incredible swimmers since day one? Or is there an example of, you see somebody in the Bluefish program that doesn't seem that they can swim all that well, and they're not very much a strong swimmer at that age, but they just work at it, they go through the training, they stay with it. The next thing you know, they're breaking records at Belfast Area High School.
I think Chris Coleman is a good example of that, where he has, as a young swimmer, he developed, and it wasn't until high school that it really blossomed, where he was just an outstanding freestyler. I mean, he just in almost any freestyle event. Because you don't see his name on the record list going back into the Bluefish records for, when he was a young kid. But if you look back, Tyler Bowen, he's got a lot of records as a young swimmer and has developed even faster. I mean, he was fast when he was little, and he was fast when he was, as he developed into a high school swimmer. So, there's two, Chris developed and became a stronger and better swimmer as he developed and got older. And Tyler was just, he was good from the beginning, and I have kids like that, don't develop until they get into college.
Right.
And becomes, I've had some kids that, went on to Bowdoin and were good swimmers for me. And they, as they filled out and got stronger, just got to be better. Scott Honig was a good example, became a better athlete as he swam in college. And so it's development and strength. And, some kids develop differently,
Right. Now, in your opinion, what are some of the most important attributes that a swimmer can possess that can make them a great swimmer? For example, I was watching the Olympics a few years ago, and I vividly remember the swim announcers that were calling the meet talking about Michael Phelps. They're saying that one of the reasons why he was such a great swimmer is because he had incredible lung capacity in terms of being able to hold his breath. That really aided him in his, swimming. Others I've heard just, the strength. Others I've heard flexibility. What are your, in terms of your opinions, what are the attributes that are most important in making a great swimmer?
The work ethic. I mean, going out, at practice and working as hard as you can, people, the great ones work really, really hard at practice and swim it like it's a race every time. They're competitive and they want to do better and they want to go faster. And those people seem to push the other people to do their best. We're not all going to be fast, outstanding swimmers, but it's really nice to see as kids develop, they get faster, throughout the season. We try to progress for the state championship or for the KVAC or whatever, and you try to do your best times at the end of the season. You're going to run into roadblocks along the way. You may not have a good meet for whatever reason. You may not feel well, or you're just tired from exams. got to learn to shake that off and come back and work a little bit harder. Sometimes when I change technique or strokes on people, to improve their stroke technique, when you do that, sometimes your times get worse instead of better. But over the course of time, they will improve. You know, just working hard at it, working hard at practice, you know, getting the rest, eating the right things. You know, sometimes in the early years, some of the guys would go to the gym on their own and work out after practice or before school in the mornings. Those kids are self-motivated to improve, and it certainly shows when they've done that. Anything extra that you can do, sometimes if you miss a practice, coming in during diving practice and getting some extra yards in, that always helps. It's just, the kids got to want it, want to improve.
Absolutely. You got to put the time in. You got to put the work right in. To you young athletes and swimmers out there listening right now, I don't know of many coaches that don't like the fact of you coming early and staying late and putting that extra work in.
Right.
Weekend comes around, work on that flexibility, get a little extra pool time. Don't stay up playing video games all night.
Yeah, right. Right. Or eating junk food and you wonder why you cramp up during a sprint set, staying away from the greasy foods and things like that. It just,
Absolutely. My message to the young athletes is, as coach, there's probably times where you think to yourself and say, how did 48 years pass?
Yeah.
Probably, you seem like it went by actually really fast. And, if you think about a 4-year sample size, these kids get into high school, you snap a finger, the next thing you know, they're graduating.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like, guys, you got 4 years to really put everything you got into the sport that you love.
Right. Yep.
Go do that. Create some unforgettable memories and then take those memories with you for the rest of your life.
All right. And those kids that enjoy swimming and I encourage them to, if they really enjoy it, finding, a college that has the program that they want to study, but also finding a program that and talking with a coach that they could fit into and help the program out and still enjoy swimming. I've had a number of my kids go on to swim at Maine, Bowdoin, Bates, University of New Hampshire, Norwich, Keene,
Yeah.
Different places. And if I get a chance, I love going to watch those kids swim if I get an opportunity. One of my swimmers from that swam for me last year from Mount View, or 2 years ago from Mount View, was swimming, swam last year at Maine Maritime. Got a chance to go over and watch him swim. I've gone to, meets at Husson and Maine to watch my kid, former swimmers, swim. And it's exciting to see them, continuing their swimming career. It's a lot of fun to see them develop.
Absolutely. And once you get to college, that goes by awfully quick, too.
Yeah.
I never wanted it to end, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
The way to college and I still hold on to all those memories today. I played 4 years of college football down in North Carolina. Still talk to one of my former teammates. There's a photo or a memory or something that always comes to mind. And
yeah, those are good times. Some of those times of studying for exams that weren't the good times, but
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, as coach, we're living in the world of COVID. I pray, hope, and wish every night it'll go away. Things are looking somewhat positive now that there's vaccines out. We just got to get them out to everybody. but it doesn't sound like, you know, that's gonna take place till the latter part of the spring, if not early part of the summer. So right now we're still dealing with COVID. Now, how much has COVID changed what you're doing at practice and in the swim program as a whole? And what are practices and swim meets going to look like as we operate through this pandemic here with COVID?
I'm just hoping that, you know, maybe by next year that things will, with the vaccines and developing the herd immunity, that we can get back to some kind of normalcy with swimming. I know this year all our swim meet limiting, you know, people, that also the number of people working the meets. So I'm just and you know, making sure that we have a couple people in each lane, one at one end, one at the other end. The workouts. I'm in a very fortunate situation that I can have practice. I have friends of mine in Southern Maine that can't practice because the, you know, the college or the university that they practice at is not open or not allowing them to practice. You know, some YMCAs won't let other teams in because they just don't have enough time. So I have some friends in Southern Maine that aren't coaching. I mean, the swim programs are not going on right now. I don't know. It would be real difficult not to be on the deck during the wintertime. I mean, you know, I've done this for, Godfrey, I started swimming in junior high, and I don't think I've missed a season of, whether it's junior high or high school or college and then coaching. It would be really strange not to be on deck in the wintertime.
Absolutely. It becomes who you are, you know?
Yeah, it would just, I don't know. What would I do?
Right, absolutely. Well, it sounds like in terms of COVID, you know, you guys are able to navigate around this fairly well. You know, obviously the social distancing, no fans. You're going to how is the swim meets themselves going to operate again?
We're going to be doing them virtual. We're going to be bringing in officials and running right through our regular schedule of events. We just, everybody will be swimming their events. There just won't be any competitors there. The officials will be judging, making sure that they're doing their strokes legally, and it's all based on time. You know, Belfast will be swimming at their pool, and Camden will be swimming at their pool, and then we just integrate the times together. So, and then score it from there.
Very good, very good.
So it's something, you know, it's something for us to look forward to, and we're going to do a virtual KBAC, I believe. So, you know, that's our kind of like our championship, you know, that's what we're looking forward to.
Absolutely. We've got about 12-13 minutes left here in the show. Coach, let's get into your team this year. Let's preview the 2020 Belfast Lions. Let's get into some of these specific swimmers. For me, it always starts right at the top. First name I've got written down is Sawyer Carson. What can you tell us about Sawyer as a swimmer coach?
He's a real versatile swimmer. He's my top butterflyer, individual medley swimmer. He can swim any event, but the IM and the butterfly are his best events. He's also the lead swimmer on my 400 free relay and the butterfly in my medley relay. So that's Sawyer.
Absolutely. Lincoln Graff is the next swimmer on my list.
Lincoln, backstroker and IMer. I mean, he can swim again, any event. But he's primarily a backstroker, IMer. He can swim freestyle, but backstroke is probably his best event.
When you say IMer, what does that mean, Coach?
Individual medley that you swim all four strokes. It's a 200-yard event, and you swim 50 yards butterfly, 50 yards backstroke, 50 yards breaststroke, 50 yards freestyle. It's a real grueling event because you swim all four strokes as fast as you can.
Sounds like you need a lot of endurance for that.
Yes, you do.
How about Matthew Selden?
He's a distance swimmer. He swims basically freestyle, 200 freestyle, 500 freestyle. Matter of fact, today we've been working on, let's do some backstroke. We've been trying to improve his backstroke. Doesn't look too bad, but we need some work on that.
Seems like you've got a family affair here. The next name on my list looks like Lincoln's brother, Bingham. What can you tell us about Bingham?
Brigham is a sprinter, 50 freestyler, 100 freestyler, but this kid, this swimmer is very versatile. He can swim every single event. Brian mentioned something that he did last year as a freshman. Last year, he qualified in every single event for the state meet, including diving. In every individual event, including diving, he qualified for the state meet. There are very few people in the state that have achieved this. And I had my senior co-captain last year, Gary Moline, also did this. Of course, he was a state champion diver his junior year. Last year, he was runner-up. But he qualified in every single event, including diving. So these two boys were just outstanding athletes to be able to achieve that. Just incredible.
So he's a young man we need to keep our eye on moving forward. That's for sure, huh, Coach?
Yes, definitely.
Good stuff. How about Joseph Lemon?
He's a backstroker, an IMer. Again, he's a product of the Bluefish. So he can swim all events, but his backstroke looks really good. He's going to be doing some IM, develop him as an IMer, I think. So I'm pleased with him. I mean, it's funny because as you probably see it in football, as a freshman, they're small. They haven't got their muscles developed. And I think as he looks good as stroke technique looks good and stuff. I think as he develops and gets physically stronger, he's going to be even a faster swimmer.
And what year is Joseph, Coach?
He's a freshman.
He is, okay.
So, we got a couple years to get him going.
Absolutely. Another family affair here. Looks like Sawyer's little brother Tanner's on the squad this year.
Oh, yeah.
How's Tanner doing so far?
It was impressive the other night when he had time trials and went 105 and 106 in the 100 butterfly. He looks good. Butterfly, a freestyler, real strong, big kid, strong. But again, another one that can swim everything, but we'll probably use him freestyle events for a while.
He was on my football team this year and just a good kid, hard worker.
Yep.
Do anything you ask him to do. I tell the football players, the more you can do on a football field in terms of different positions and things that you can do, the better you help yourself and also help the team win.
Help the team out. Exactly.
sounds like the more events these guys can do in the swimming pool can help your team in that regard as well.
Yep, definitely.
Great stuff. How about Will Robbins?
Distance swimmer, 200, 500 swimmer. Scored in those events at the KVAC last year. And he's done some breaststroke for us as well.
Good stuff. Ronan Deschamps.
Breaststroke, freestyler. When he was in age group, he was a freestyler. But he's been working on the diving board with Lincoln and Brigham. We've got 5 different dives, so I'm pretty happy. I told him he's a junior, and I said if we can get 6 or 8 dives this year and add to your collection next year, getting up to 11, that's really, really great. I mean, having 3 kids that can dive and swim as well, it's certainly an asset.
No doubt. Last swimmer on my list, Coach, is Joshua Howard. What's he bring to the table?
He's a natural breaststroker. Breaststroke has been our weak area for the last couple of years. We haven't had a natural breaststroker. Matter of fact, we've been doing the last couple of years doing more breaststroke drills because my IMers, that's the weak link in their stroke, whether it's Sawyer, Lincoln, or Brigham, doing the 200 IM, that's been our weak link. That's been our slowest event. So we've been trying to work on developing our breaststroke in the IM, but also developing a breaststroke event, which, to help strengthen our team out.
No doubt. Got a couple more minutes, Coach. We're coming up on top of the hour. Tell our listeners how the diving portion works within meets. Is it literally 3 judges or?
Yeah. In the diving competition, you have to perform 6 different dives. And each week there's a different one that is required at the very beginning. And then there are 5 different categories in diving: a forward dive, a back dive, a reverse dive, a twist dive, and an inward dive. And each week you have to start out with a required dive for that week. And it comes out of, the first one has to come out of one of those 5 categories. And then you have to do 6 dives that come out of the 4 categories. But at the state meet competition, you got to do 11 dives, 11 different dives. Anybody that comes into diving in the first year, I tell them, if you can learn 6 to 8 dives the first year, that is great. And then we add to the repertoire the next year. Just great. Getting those guys on the board, it's great.
Great stuff, Coach. Coach, an hour goes by awfully fast into these conversations. I learned an awful lot about the sport of swimming. I enjoyed the conversation very much so. I know our listeners probably learned a lot as well. I wish you continued success. You're definitely a legend in my mind here at Belfast High School.
Thanks, Brian. I'm just old, that's all.
I wish you a great 2020 season, and perhaps we can invite you back on the show once we get a couple of meets under our belt.
Okay. I like that. That'd be great.
Awesome. You have a great night. And to our listeners, we'll see you next week. This is WBFY, and go Lions. Lions pride. Good night.